You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Here we are on Veterans Day, November 11, 2022, and we are going to talk more about Veterans Day and the meaning before we wrap up this hour, and also the story of Pat Tillman, the Arizona NFL player who walked away from something like a $3 million contract after 9/11, saying, I've got to do something to help my country instead of sit here and earn money. Of course, he came back in a coffin. He served several tours, but the last one he came back in a coffin, and there was debate over what happened. Originally, it was considered that he was killed in an ambush and later turned out to be friendly fire, but it's the overall story I want to focus on and some other things as well. We'll get into that before we wrap up today. And at last word, our website, our KXEN website where you can listen that way is still down. For those of you now who are on the radio side, glad to have you, but you can send text to friends and so forth that you know rely on it. Same thing, Rumble, we might be having trouble with that. I'm just wondering, you think it might be because they thought, you know, just yesterday Larry said they can't get me off the air. Maybe they thought, yeah, we can. Just saying. Why not start a conspiracy theory? Here is something that is worthy of full inspection. The red wave did not happen. You know that. You can talk about some of the victories we had. Florida, obviously, is very big. Michigan, not so much. And, in fact, Michigan Democrats now control their state legislature for the first time in decades, and Whitmer was reelected. And the question has been, a lot of these candidates endorsed by Trump did not win. They won their primaries, and he was running like about 90% ranking as far as how his numbers and percentages were going for wins. But that was in the primary. And there'd been questions anyway about how much Democrat money was being dumped in to make sure certain candidates on the Republican side and even votes were cast for them, to make sure they would win because they could be beat, and especially because they'd been endorsed by Trump. Facts are still coming together. It'd be a while before we have the full story, but I do know this. Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, Republican, Marine, got that job with the help of Donald Trump's endorsement, is now saying that as things stand right now, I cannot vote for Trump if he runs in 2024. It's time to move on. Trump, in the meantime, is firing off like crazy against various folks, saying that it's got to be, he's blaming anyone and everything he can. He's targeting everyone from Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin. And he even said, you know, Youngkin, that's an interesting take. Sounds Chinese, doesn't it? See, that's another. What, Trump does not need to be doing that any more than they did the other day with Ron DeSantis talking about Ron DeSanctimonious. He said he voted for DeSantis, but this is not good to have this kind of division going on. On the plus side, House Republican Conference Chair Elise Stefanik, Republican of New York, said if Trump announces he's running next week, it's very clear he is still the leader of the GOP and he will get my vote. Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, has pointed out that Washington Republicanism lost big Tuesday night in the midterm elections, and he says it wasn't so much Trump, it's the fact that the leadership, Mitch McConnell and gang, constantly caved to Democrats. He said when your agenda is to cave into Big Pharma, cave into Chuck Schumer on gun control, Green Deal infrastructure, you lose, and he's right about that. NBC forecasting Republicans will win the House by a margin of just 9 seats when we're expecting to pick up 40 plus. That's not a red wave. And then, of course, crime, which we thought would be a real motivator for many. Well, there's another crime you might as well put in the book, whether or not it's going to bother anybody. A Chicago man, surprise, surprise, was serving jail time for a felony weapon, got released with an electronic monitoring bracelet. He drove to Iowa after cutting it off and tried to murder two people. You want to go give him another bracelet?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program. John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
His administration, when it came to the economy, helped us because black unemployment was the lowest it had ever been. Historically, and then, of course, when it came to education, he forgave his administration the loans that historically black colleges and universities had owed that they could never repay, and by the way, provided a permanent funding stream, and then safety forced NATO to bring their fair share, only 2% of their GDP.
Do you remember those days that when Trump was running around the country and making sure things were operating better, more efficient? That was the statement from Winsome Sears. She is the Virginia Lieutenant Governor, a Jamaican-born woman that she got into office largely with Donald Trump's endorsement. And, of course, we were expecting a big red wave, many of us, for Republicans, both in the House by maybe 40-plus votes. NBC estimating maybe you're going to win by 9 votes in the House at this time. And the Senate, we really need to win. But at the last report, and I'm checking right now to see if there's any update on some of this stuff, we still have so many votes that are hanging in the balance right now. The House control, according to CNN, is still not decided. Now, CNN is indicating that it will go to the Republicans by 9 votes. And you've got many of the past and current Republican lawmakers blaming Trump for the losses. They want to move on to 2024. That was part of the discussion that followed with the Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears. Before I continue, I need to make it clear to you that if you're not listening to us via the radio wave and you were trying to use the app or our Rumble, both apparently are down for some reason. I have no idea. I do know that in the past sometimes we have some construction work going on around in the neighborhood and they cut through lines and power cables that are important to us and it ticks me off to no end. Let me put it that way. Because when I finish this program, I'm going to be ready for a good jack or two or maybe three. Won't be driving. Don't worry about that. But we have a lot of people putting a lot of work into this program. They're trying right now to get all that resolved. And hopefully it's going to be okay for the podcast so you can send word via text and so forth to everyone else that when we finish, Mark, we get up our podcast today and get it out as fast as possible. What about the Rumble? The Rumble should be there to be put up as well. Should have already been fed to them, I guess. All right, we'll see about that. And I truly regret it. But I can't do anything about it any more than I can do anything about the results that happened in the election the other night. We did not have a red wave, period. And you just need to accept it. And how and where you put the blame is the next issue. Well, of course, a lot of them are quickly pointing the finger at Donald Trump. So Trump is on the warpath. He's accusing everybody from Fox News of spending too much time promoting DeSantis. He's accusing Ron DeSantis of disloyalty. This is after Trump the other day called him Ron DeSanctimonious. I don't know all that. I mean, and we've got so many irons still in the fire, and you cannot take whatever happened, even if we had won a big wave here in 2024, is to say we don't need to worry about what happens going forward for 2024. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It would not make any difference if we won both the House and Senate by considerable margins. You still have another election in 2024, which is going to be critical. Again, every member of the House will be up for re-election, a third of the Senate, and, of course, that will be a general election with the president's office in play as well. And the question comes back, is all of this lack of a red wave shaking the Trump Foundation? If Winsome Sears is right there, and again, not only is she a Jamaican-born American, but has served our military, and I point that out not just because of Veterans Day, but because of her record as she's a Marine, so Semper Fi to her. But if she's saying right now that we always have to consider the mission first, well, when she says it in her words, you get the impression and Trump's not an option.
When we look at the mission, and as a Marine, we're looking at the mission, and, you know, the voters have spoken, and they have said that they want a different leader. And a true leader understands when they have become a liability. A true leader understands that it's time to step off the stage, and the voters have given us that very clear message. A house divided against itself cannot stand, and indeed, that's where we are today. And as I said before, America is the prize. Why do we want to win elections? It's because we've got to learn to love each other, live together, govern together, and the voters are saying enough is enough.
They might well be saying exactly like that. Now, I will add to that, certainly DeSantis performed exceedingly well in Florida. I mean, it was red coast to coast, north to south, east to west. Every elected office that was up for grabs in Florida went red. You also have the victory in Texas, Governor Abbott soundly defeating Beto and his latest run to be somebody of influence. And the Texas GOP chairman said that DeSantis's brand of leadership is, quote, and I'm quoting him now, the path forward for the GOP. And all of this is because there's more and more buzz on Twitter and elsewhere about a presidential run by DeSantis. I do know the other day, and I was very upset and distressed by it, this before the midterms went down. Trump went down to help Marco Rubio at an appearance. Rubio won his seat back, kept it, I should say. But DeSantis was missing, and the initial word was that he wasn't really invited. If DeSantis were not invited because Trump didn't want him there, that's a bad, bad decision. Look, you can love, let's say your parents. You can love your parents dearly. You may not always agree with them. You may disagree with them a lot. And as time goes on, maybe you disagree with them even more so. But they're still your parents. But at some point, you realize, I'm also a parent now. I'm not saying my parent is a child. Unfortunately, some might digress to that because of mental issues. But you begin to say, I need to take control. Josh Hawley, as I was pointing out in the news break, was saying earlier that he said the problem we have here, and by the way, while Sears is basically walking away from Trump at this point, the House Republican Conference Chair, Elise Stefanik, Republican of New York, said it's very clear Trump is still the leader of the GOP. And she released that statement as Trump is talking about he's got a statement he's going to make next week. Now, he purposely scheduled it next week so it wouldn't interfere with the midterm elections. In my mind, he could have also scheduled it that way, wait to see exactly how they turn out. And based on what we have now, he's not going to come in flags waving and I'm the savior. It won't work this time. And I know I've got many of you listening that you're very, very strong Trump supporters. I understand that. But as I've always told you, I'm going to call balls and strikes. And you must look at reality. If you don't, you're going to allow someone else to get in there. Here's an example. You know who some are now suggesting could be in the White House either as president the first time or sitting there and waiting for the opportunity to move up from the VP chair? Here is Democrat strategist James Carville talking about newly reelected governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer.
For 2024, 2028, she's already in the talk of, of being a very serious presidential candidate if she runs. So I think people really understand what she's done and how tough she is. And that whole bunch of Michigan Democrats, my friend Senator Mallory McMurrow, a bunch of these people, really worked hard and did a good job, as it did in Pennsylvania. And I said this morning, I guess yesterday morning, Josh Shapiro might have had the best campaign of the whole cycle. I mean, they were very aggressive. They got enough votes, I think, to help Fetterman a lot. So, yes, I think you're right to point that out. But I think Gretchen Whitmer is at the top of any conversation about any national figure in the Democratic Party.
In the Democrat Party. Now, when you heard him talking about Josh doing so well, he's talking about in Pennsylvania. Josh was running for governor, and Fetterman beats Oz by 1 point. Josh won his race by 5-plus points, and they think that probably was enough to pull Fetterman over the line a little bit. So he might have won if Josh Shapiro had not won his race. Then you've got, of course, we're still waiting on 20% or so of the ballots in Arizona are not counted. Maricopa County, one of the biggest and likely Republican stronghold, they seem to be just drip, drip, slow walking the votes. Carrie Lake, probably, and she says she's 100% confident she will end up being governor. But if she doesn't get a strong, strong showing, then Blake Masters probably will not be elected to the Senate. And the whole idea was that she might be strong enough that she could pull, as Josh Shapiro did with Fetterman, she could pull Blake Masters over in Arizona and capture that seat for Republicans. It might still happen, but I'm telling you, don't hold your breath. And there, Kerry Lake is another possibility when you're looking at presidential timber down the road. I wouldn't rule that woman out at this time. I want to go back to the issue that what is Trump going to do or not do at this point? And the interview that Virginia Lieutenant Governor Sears was having with Neil Cavuto about when you heard her say earlier, it's time to move on. Here's where Cavuto raised that question reference this next week.
Donald Trump still makes a speech next week that he wants to run for president. What would you think about that?
I could not support him. I just couldn't, because we have seen, for example, in those states where he has endorsed the candidates, in fact, Republicans on the same ticket who he did not endorse overperformed, whereas his candidates totally underperformed by as much as 10 points. We have a clear mission, and it is time to move on.
There may be a lot of people having that same thought today, and as of yesterday, especially as they begin to dissect the numbers and take a closer look. Now, again, Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, says the real issue is that Republicans we had in office were spineless. They were caving in. They were giving in to Chuck Schumer on gun control issues. They were giving into the squad when it came to green issues and putting a little bit more money into there and buying into it. And they were not standing firm and strong and tall. And so, therefore, the voters thought, well, are they going to do it or are they not going to do it? A lot of that also could have taken a lot of the wind out of the sails of Donald Trump candidates that were running. And then there's a question that's been raised, and my guest raised it yesterday, that maybe the candidates weren't that good to begin with, and he specifically referred to Herschel Walker. He said he might be a great running back, Heisman winner, but he's no politician. Of course, in my opinion, neither is Fetterman, but he's going to be a U.S. Senator. And then you got the squad and its impact on what happens going forward. And one of the squad members, AOC herself, said, if you're looking at an extremist, don't look at me.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Do people want both parties to move from the fringes, from the extremes, back to the center?
I think a lot of people in this country may say yes, but it's important for us to dig into the substance of what that actually means. As someone who is often, I think, characterized as extreme, I, of course, would object to that. I do not believe that I am as extreme in the way that Marjorie Taylor Greene on the Republican side is extreme. The idea that there is an equating of believing in someone who believes in guaranteed universal health care in the United States with someone who believes that undocumented people should incur physical harm are somehow in the same level of extreme is something that I would object to.
I don't know where she comes up with saying Marjorie Taylor Greene believes that illegals should get physically harmed. I don't know where she comes up with that, but that's the voice of AOC, one of the squad leaders. I would say the squad leaders. They're all about green pie in the sky, that everything you have you need to get rid of because we're not going to use anything like that anymore. We're not going to use your gas vehicle. We're going to get rid of any fossil fuel. We're going to close down the coal plants. We've already shut down a lot of our oil and gas drilling, although we still need it. That's why we're begging for oil from Venezuela and for OPEC to produce more. And while we've got it under our feet, 300 to 500 years of energy under our feet, but these people don't want us to use it. They want to rely on solar power, which is always not going to work, and then you got to get rid of the solar panels when they are used up, and they do in time. They've got the wind farms, and then when those blades have to be taken down because they're no longer effective, then they've got to figure out how we're going to get rid of these things. And then, of course, nuclear power plants, that's an option, but we're not building any more of those right now. I will point this out. In Germany, they've now approved a plan to keep their three remaining nuclear power plants online You know, they were going to shut them down at the end of the year. They're going to keep them online at least until mid-April. They're trying to get through the winter because they're not getting oil and gas from Russia. And they were warned, by the way. They were warned by as far back as Reagan. Do not rely on getting all of your energy from the Russians, because there will come a day when they would just shut it off. Like him or not, and despite what we were talking about in the previous segments about how this lack of a red wave in some of the elections that did go down have shaken the foundation of Trump's base, and many are saying, including Virginia Lieutenant Governor Sears, I can't vote for him now. We need a new leader. It's time to move on. Despite all that, he made this country energy independent. He knew how to run it, did so as a business, and your taxes were lower. Your economy is doing so much better, around 2% inflation. Look at us now, 8.5 or more. I can't even keep up with it anymore. And I'm sure many of you can't keep up with the cost it's bringing you. Now, when I hear people like AOC say that I'm not really extreme, I'm thinking, you're whacked out. Of course you're extreme. You're the kind that wants to have drag queen parties in front of third or fourth graders. You're the kind that wants to tell 13-year-old girls, oh, you're not feeling good in your body today? Let's just chop your breast off because maybe you're not a girl, you're a boy. I will, as long as I have this program, defend the unborn and fight to protect our children from the woke. And I'll repeat it again. It's time for the woke to be put to sleep. So I'm hearing from Andrew, one of my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago and others elsewhere, that the Rumble stream is back up. And I can tell by the numbers, a lot of folks, they're not there, but hopefully they'll get a chance to watch it later. I don't believe our website is broadcasting at this. I don't know what the problem is, beyond my pay grade. But on this Veterans Day, I want to spend time in this next segment on the Pat Tillman story. $3 million NFL Arizona Cardinal football player that after 9/11 said, there's got to be more than just me making money playing a game.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota. For life.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So this story begins 1976. A young boy was born to parents in San Jose, California. He was the oldest of the three boys they would end up having. His full name was Patrick Tillman. According to many who knew him, he was a natural leader, a tendency to push limits in life, classroom, the field. San Jose, California became obvious that he had diligence and curiosity, amazing almost everyone he came in contact with. Became a star, leading his high school team to Central Coast Division I after being told, oh, you're too small to play football. Arizona State University picked up his potential and got him to play for the Sun Devils. What he lacked in size, he made up in intensity as a linebacker. And then, of course, later, the Arizona Cardinals watched, and they selected him in the seventh round of the 98 draft. Many doubted his ability to be, again, an opening day roster, but he was. and he ended up getting basically a $3.5 million contract from the Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals. And then came the attacks of September 11, 2001. And he told a reporter, at times like this, you stop and think about just how good we have it, what kind of system we live in, the freedoms we are allowed. A lot of my family has gone and fought in wars, and I really haven't done a damn thing. So in the spring of 2022, he married his high school love, told the Cardinals, I'm leaving, placing my career on hold. I'm going to enlist in the U.S. Army with my brother. He and his brother joined that July. They became members of the 2nd Battalion, the 75th Ranger Regiment. They served numerous tours in Iraq, and in the end, April 22, 2004, Pat's unit was ambushed, traveling through eastern Afghanistan. There were reports of how heroic he was trying to provide cover for others as they got out of there, but then he was shot and killed, and for much of the story was that he was killed by the enemy. I have a listener that wrote a piece for VT. Now, VT is an open source, uncensored, independent alternative media, a place for what they describe as intelligent civil discourse focusing on U.S. policy and military issues. They say that they give their writers 100% independence, and they are 100% USA. They have no brick-and-mortar officers. They have simple yet clear posting rules, ensuring all are legal and within the law, but they do not use these writers as employees or contractors. They get no salary or fee. They do not control their content. In other words, editors and the writers are 100% responsible for the accuracy of their post. I give you all that because I always give you details and background of any source I want to read to you. I don't want to try to pull something on past you. My listener, identified as Arthur Clemens, wrote for VT, and he was quoting in the beginning Eisenhower's farewell address to the nation, 1961. And he said, in the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwanted influence, whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. Those are the words from Eisenhower and 1961. And he goes on to talk about 9/11, of course, being one of the great tragedies. I'm talking about Arthur Clemens, a writer for VT, also a listener to the program. And he said, and there were tragedies, and another one from that era that cost many more lives, of course, in 9/11, that many don't have an understanding of it. The blame for this can be placed, he said, squarely on the U.S. Army and the military-industrial complex. He said, I bring it up because we might soon, at the time he wrote this article, might have a president who was involved in covering up the tragedy. He once appointed a general to be Secretary of Defense. That would be Biden, and appointing Defense Secretary Austin. It dealt with the situation in Afghanistan. Well, we know the debacle that we saw with Afghanistan when it came to leaving, right? How disastrous it was. Trump was going to get us out of Afghanistan. He wanted to be out. But he made very clear to the Taliban, we will take troops out. I'm going to give you a date, but in order for that date to actually happen, you've got to meet certain guidelines and steps along the way. In other words, if you don't, we're not pulling out then, as much as he wanted to get them home. Biden's approach was, just pull them out. Overnight, abandon Bagram Air Force Base. So that meant the Afghans fighting in the field against the Taliban's, when they called in for airstrikes, there were no airstrikes coming. We had abandoned the airbase. We abandoned all the equipment, everything there. Supposedly we had destroyed some, but a lot of it's still usable or could be cannibalized from other pieces. And we did not get all the Americans out of there, nor, and to this day, I don't think we have all of them out. We were told, well, they wanted to stay with their families because their families were still there. Well, I would too. But we also told Afghan families, whether they were married to an American or not, those who helped us during their time in 20 years at that country, we would help get them out. We didn't do that either. We left a lot of them there. And he also points out in this article that General Austin had a hand in covering up the assassination, as he calls it, of Pat Tillman in Afghanistan of 2004 by his own men shooting him in the back. Now, I told you earlier it was a friendly fire decision, finally. At first it was that he was shot down by in a great heroic effort. And again, as I point out to you, this is not any slam against Arthur Clemens, but as I pointed out, VT lets them do their own writing and editing. They don't vet it. They don't verify it. They just let them put it up. Here's what he wrote about it. He said, General Austin may also have had a hand in covering up the assassination of Pat Tillman in Afghanistan in 2004 because his own men shot him in the back since they may have considered him to be a threat to snitch on drug smuggling operations, and higher-ups, including President Bush, might have considered him to be a threat to come home and run for president. And General Austin was in command of the 10th Mountain Division in Afghanistan at the time. I haven't double-checked that fact, but that is probably true that he was in charge of that at that point. And he also points out the experience in the contractors, the money that's being spent and given to these contractors. And that is, again, parts of the piece he wrote for VT. And he did have an article he picked up for the New York Times, October 2004, stating that 380 tons of high explosives were lost to insurgents in Iraq due to the total incompetence of the army that's supposed to be controlling them. And, of course, pointing out that there were countless American soldiers killed or maimed by roadside bombs. That we do know. He said there's no way, of course, to know if those same explosives were used in making all those bombs, but assuming that they were, the casualties caused by these explosives could easily have been in the tens of thousands, including hundreds of thousands of American soldiers. And he sums up this. He said, the standard procedure for the military to court-martial officers who provide weapons to the enemy, but under the leadership of Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, McConnell, Pelosi, Biden, Austin, there was no court-martial, even the name of the officers responsible. Why? He said the answer is simple. The military-industrial complex does not fight wars to win. They fight the wars to keep them going. No matter, as he writes, how many brave Americans get killed or get their legs and arms blown off by roadside bombs. So he said now it's time for the media and members of Congress to bring up this issue before it's too late. Again, this was written by Arthur Clemens in 2021. Pat Tillman is still looked at. The Pat Tillman Foundation, by the way, includes remarkable military service members and veterans, empowering them with academic scholarships, leadership opportunities. They've raised a lot of money. They've helped a lot of people. I don't know the full story of what happened, and I don't know how close Arthur's story is. And with all due respect to Arthur, I had made it clear to you I could not fully endorse what you're saying. I'm just going to share it. But I do know this, that when Pat Tillman apparently turned down a $3+ million 3-year contract with the Cardinals to enlist in the Army after 9/11, and you later got the Silver Star and Purple Heart, it does tell me that in the midst of the money we make and all the luxuries and everything we have, there are still the warriors, the ones that say, I hope you're enjoying what you had today, because tomorrow you might not, and somebody's got to go protect it and make sure you do have it. Which brings us to Veterans Day, which recognizes anyone and everyone who has served in the military in whatever level. And do you know where your president was today? Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is Veterans Day, and we're going to get into the full meaning of it in a moment. And, of course, normally on Veterans Day, the president of this country goes to the tomb of the unknown soldier at Arlington National Cemetery, which we will discuss also in a moment, and places a wreath, recognizing the sacrifice of everyone who served the military. This is not Memorial Day, honoring those who have died in any war. This is Veterans Day. This is for every man or woman who served in any capacity. I've had people tell me, look, you know, Larry, I know you were in the Marines. He said, I was in the Army. I said, well, great for service to your country. He said, well, I was just a cook. I said, you weren't just a cook. You signed on the dotted line that you would protect this country against all enemies, foreign or domestic. You put yourself out there. That was the mission they gave you. If you fulfilled that mission, you did what they wanted you to do. Same thing with those who served in the JAG Corps, where they basically were in a court all day, or a typist. I mean, you don't have to be, and not everyone can be, in the trenches in the grunt war on a constant basis. Every Marine is basically a grunt, but a lot of them also end up in different positions. And many of the Marines I know, we don't have any stories to share. We just don't, you know, we don't. And some really have some powerful stories, but they're not going to share those either. Yesterday was the Marine Corps' 247th birthday. But today is for all that have served in any branch, be it Coast Guard, Marines, Army, Navy, Air Force. God, I hope I'm not leaving somebody out. I probably did in the process of it. But we thank all of you for your service. I had a text today from somebody who said, I wish we had everybody had to serve sometime in the military. And I said, that would have been good. Either that or something like what John F. Kennedy had, the Peace Corps, that you got to do something for your country, at least 2 years. Israel has every adult, when they reach a certain age, I think 18, they have to serve in their military for 2 years. So Biden did not go to lay the wreath at the Arlington National Memorial today. He sent VP Harris. All right, sometimes that's why the VP is there, to do jobs that the president can't do. But he could have done it. You know why he wasn't there? This is what galls me to no end. He flew out late last night because they have a series of meetings on global environment in Egypt, some town in Egypt. That's where he went last night. He could have flown out this morning after doing that, and they would have waited for him, believe me. But he did not want to go. He wanted to go to this big meeting to fight climate change, as he said as he was climbing on board Air Force One. And then also what he did do today, he did try to pay some passing honor to those who served the military by falsely claiming that his climate envoy, John Kerry, is one of the most decorated men to fight for America. He did that in a speech at the climate summit in Egypt. Kerry did serve in Vietnam, not taking that away from him. He is awarded a Bronze Star, Silver Star, 3 Purple Hearts, but he's not even on the list of the top 50 decorated. But that aside, remember in 2004, running against George W. Bush, he told a media outlet that he threw his Vietnam combat medals over the fence of the White House protesting the war, which, you know, a lot were doing, not just him. He later said, no, it's a myth. I threw my ribbons over, not my medals. And I tossed other soldiers' medals across the fence. And, of course, his service was questioned by the Swift Boats Veterans for Truth during the 2004 election, because some were questioning his patriotism. And, of course, Biden had to use the opportunity, and my God, please let your son be at rest at some point. Biden reminded the audience, on this special day and every day, I honor all those who sacrificed for our nation, like my son. Biden would be honored on Veterans Day. He did not die in a combat zone. He was in one. He came down with cancer, may be related to these burn pits, burning hazardous waste. I'm not going to take that away, but he still served. Armistice 11, November 1918, that was the formal agreement that ended World War I. And so that is why we now celebrate Veterans Day every day, every year on November 11, because that was an agreement that marked the official end of World War I. And we're talking about the Arlington National Cemetery and the Tomb of the Unknown. And yes, there is a body laid there. In fact, World War II and Korean War unidentified service members are in two different crypts. One third crypt represents missing service members from Vietnam that never came home. Now, of course, DNA, now we can identify a lot. We probably could go back into those and make the identification now, but it's a marker to remind us of the cost. And at Arlington, by the way, there are individual Civil War unknown burials, something like 2,000 of those, exact number not even known. If you know someone who served in any capacity, thank them for their service. Thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.